Good to see you. Thank you for leading us in our sermon this morning. Let's pray for you. Father, we ask for your wisdom for Harry, that you would help him to clearly communicate your message for us this day. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Harry, over to you.
Thank you. In our passage today, Jesus illustrates the power of prayer and what we can expect from it. Ask, seek, knock, we're told, and it will be given to you. Here we see three verbs, all with different meanings. This can illustrate a process. We ask for something, but instead of sitting back and waiting, we take a step out in faith to do something to try to obtain it. Then we persistently knock to get a response. On the one hand, this could be taken in a negative way. I've asked God, we say, and he's not responding, so I'll take matters into my own hands and get it myself. Then, in a demanding and selfish way, we say, I'm going to keep pounding on the door until God gives me what I want. But that's not what Jesus is referring to in his sermon. To ask implies a simple petition. Seek indicates an earnest search. Knock shows perseverance in spite of hindrances. In effect, the act of asking is showing that something is important to you and you're looking to the one who you know can help you. In the act of seeking, it shows that you're willing to pursue it. You're not just going to expect God to drop it in your lap. You're following the prompting of the Holy Spirit and doing what you need to do in order to receive what you've asked for. And in the knocking, you're showing that it's something you're willing to be persistent in, something you care about enough to show that you're not going to give up until the Lord tells you to. We are to ask with confidence and in all humility. In Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. Even though he didn't want to help the widow, he ended up giving in to her persistence. Jesus contrasts that with God saying, how much more will the Father see that you get justice, since he loves you and cares about you? We shouldn't give up praying for justice and any other righteous desire, because although at times it may seem like God isn't listening or doesn't care, Jesus confirmed that he does listen and he does care. But why would God make us be so persistent before giving us his blessing? Sometimes it's a test to determine how important it is to us and if we're willing to pursue it. He may also hold up off so that we may appreciate it more. Sometimes we think God shouldn't make us ask, seek, or knock, since as he knows what we need, shouldn't he just give it to us? God will sometimes operate that way, but there are times when he blesses us without us even asking for it. But it's wrong for us to expect or demand that he do it this way all the time. There are times when we will need to go through a process in order to receive. We might have to wait before God will answer, but it's not punishing, it's rewarding. We might see, ask and you shall receive, and think, I ask for a lot of things I haven't received, so where am I going wrong? Well, we need to understand that this verse isn't implying that everything we want, we will get. It wouldn't be wise or loving of God to give us everything our hearts desire. James 4 mentions that sometimes we don't have because we ask with wrong motives. So it makes sense why God wouldn't honour these requests. There are times when we think our motives are pure, but they're not. When we ask him for what we want, we need to know we ask with the right motive. John 15 verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Verse 16 goes on to qualify that. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. We see that it isn't just about asking, it's about being in Christ, in the sense of being in relationship with him, being in step with him, having his word in our hearts and our minds, and living our lives as such. When we're in a right relationship with Christ, and when his word is embedded in our hearts, then our desires and requests will be in line with his will. Asking for things in the name of Jesus isn't just about ending our prayer with, in Jesus' name, amen. Asking in the name of Jesus means I'm asking in accordance with the character of Christ, the integrity of Christ, and the spirit of Christ. I'm viewing my desires through the lens of righteousness and with our Lord's will in mind. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it starts, I know the plans I have for you. But have you ever looked at what follows that? Jeremiah 29, 12 to 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You see, God had plans for the exiled Israelites, but all too often they were disobedient, which led to them being taken into captivity. God wants us to call on him and seek him with all our heart. When we have the passion and desire for God and the things of God, then we will receive. God will not hold back. We will see his prosperous plans for us come to fruition when we're focused and centered on him. It's all about Jesus. Psalm 37, 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. To delight in the Lord is to have joy in, be glad in, and find satisfaction in the Lord. Excuse me. It means to fully appreciate Jesus. When Jesus is our delight, then the desires of our heart will be what delights him. Ask and we will receive. Sometimes we aren't prepared to receive what we're asking for. There might be sin in our lives that we aren't dealing with, or we might not be mature enough yet. So God may well have something he desires to give us instead. But in his wisdom, he will wait until it's the right time. Otherwise, we wouldn't appreciate the blessing for what it is, or we might misuse and abuse it. Do we think God would give us what we're asking for when we're living in disobedience? In fact, it's possible that God might remove some of the blessings he's given us when we choose to disobey him. And it would actually be a blessing if he did that, because hopefully that would cause us to come to our senses quicker. We also have to keep in mind that when we ask, seek, and knock, we will receive if it's in line with God's will. Excuse me. When Jesus prayed in the garden and asked that the cup of suffering be taken from him, the Father didn't grant his request. Why? Because it wasn't the Father's will. Paul asked three times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed, but Jesus didn't give him what he asked for. Not because he enjoyed seeing Paul tormented, but because he wanted Paul to understand something. And both Jesus and Paul had the right attitude about that. Jesus said, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Paul said, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." They didn't have a negative attitude toward God for denying their requests. They knew God had a purpose in it. God always knows what's best for us and will always do what's best. We think we know and are confused when God doesn't deliver on what we think is good or best for us. But if we don't have it, whether it's because it's not his will or not the right time, we should trust God's wisdom. Sometimes we think God hasn't answered our prayer when in fact he has. It's just not quite the answer we were looking for. Matthew 7:12. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." If we, though we are imperfect and undeserving, get such good and gracious gifts from God, shouldn't we treat others the same way? In everything, we're told. This tells me that there is no circumstance where I'm excused from following this rule. When I don't feel like it, I must still follow it. When people mistreat me, I must still follow it. This principle is not conditional. It's natural for us to want to bless others if they bless us first. But we are called to do the harder thing. Bless the undeserving. And even though you were not blessed first, bless even though you will not be blessed by them. In return, bless, because God has blessed you. Today, being Refugee Sunday, we remember those who have left homeland to seek safety here and in other countries. We can't begin to imagine the heartache this must cause them, as many have had to leave members of their family behind. Yet many have arrived in this country with their only possession, their faith in Jesus, their sustainer and comforter in their times of trouble. Dear friends, make it your ambition to love people, all people from whatever country, whatever background, with the love Christ has shown to you. If you choose love, you will be choosing life. Jesus has blessed us, so we in turn should bless others. Our Lord's commission is that we imitate him by showing love to others, even when no one is showing love towards us. We once rejected Jesus, but that didn't stop him from remembering each one of us in his love. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been very clear about what he expects of the citizens in his kingdom. He wants them to shine with an internal righteousness that comes from deep within, not to put on a show of external righteousness covering selfishness and pride. Choose love, Jesus says. Choose to treat others the way you want to be treated. Choose to go out of your way to serve people, to give sacrificially to others. Our Lord's command goes way beyond just withholding harm. It's more than not doing to others what you don't want them to do to you. You see, that's the ethic of most religions. The Jews in Jesus' day taught, what is hateful to yourself, do to no other. That is the whole law. Most religions teach, do not harm. That is, don't do to others what you don't want done to you. Only Jesus teaches, do to others what you wish they would do to you. That goes way beyond just withholding harm. It requires action. It requires that I go out of my way to help people and show kindness to them. In a word, Jesus wants us to love people from the heart. He's been very unambiguous about that throughout his sermon. You have before you a list of quotations from scripture, which I will leave you to read at your leisure. Don't be angry with your brother, but be reconciled. Now, you can choose to obey Christ or not. That is to say, you can choose to love people or not. And as Jesus comes to the end of his sermon, he makes that choice very clear. When Jesus tells us to do to others what you would have them do to you, he's summarizing everything he has said so far. Later in Matthew, a lawyer will ask Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law? And that's Matthew 22, verse 36. And Jesus will answer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The law of love is the foundation of all laws in the Bible. It's the royal law. James calls it the king of all laws. Jesus asks his followers to not walk away from the enemy, but to dress the wounds of the one who tried to hurt you. He asks you to help the one who makes your life miserable at work, to speak well of those who talk behind your back, to return good for the evil done to you. I don't know about you, but I find that extremely difficult to do. I don't have that kind of love on my own. So it drives me to the very first words of Jesus in his sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If I'm to love the way Jesus asks me to love, then I have to recognize my own inability to do so and depend on him to do it through me. I must have our Lord's love in my heart. I must trust him with my life and allow him to change my own stone-cold heart into a heart of flesh that loves people like he loves me, even though my sins put him on the cross. It's hard to go out of your way to love even your enemy, but it is the only way to live. So Jesus puts the choice before you. He invites you to choose love, and in so doing, choose life. Choose the eternal, abundant life. Let Jesus love people through you. Jesus presents us two ways of life: the hard way to love, which leads to life, or the easy way of living for yourself, which leads to ruin. In John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We may not like it, but it's true. I don't always like what my doctor says, but if I'm going to live well, I need to trust him enough to do what he prescribes. I have to trust Jesus enough to do what he says, even if people laugh and mock me for it. There is no other way to live the life he calls me to live, but to depend on him. That's what Jesus encourages you to do this morning. No, it's not easy to do the hard thing, but it's only by the help of Jesus in your life that you will be able to love difficult people. 1 John 2:17 says, "The world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Do you want your life to count for something? Then pursue God's will for your life today and live your life in this world and the next, all to the glory of God. Amen.